y'all are tuning in. It's me, Mary Hannah.
Me, Aifa.
And me, Wanipa.
You said that's so cute. I feel like I want to have the little, like, pew, pew, pew. I don't know why.
Pew, 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 pew. I love that sound effect. Same. I think that should be our thing now. We've reclaimed it as our own.
So today, guys, we're going to be having a discussion about some recent things we saw on the TL. I think it was last week now, about, you know, like, Black Lives Matter being witchcraft, and just how we as Christians engage with doctrines that are maybe opposed to ours in terms of, like, actual Christian theology, but also just opinions or political stances or, you know, various perspectives that other people may have, which just may be contrary to yours, even if you are both Christians. But we'll discuss all of that after a word of prayer.
Yeah. Dear Lord, we ask you to just help us and lead us in what we say, that everything we say during this time will be from you and will be honouring to you. Father Lord, we pray that we won't speak of our own accord, that we'll speak to edify, to uplift, to educate, to encourage. And Lord, we pray for everyone who's listening, we just pray that you bless their hearts and that you really give them something to leave this podcast thinking about. And you also help us all to always fight for the justice for the people you love so much and that you laid down your life for. In the mighty name of Jesus, I prayed. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, girls, so I mentioned it just a couple minutes ago. BLM is witchcraft. Dun, 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 wow. So says.
Anyways.
What are your, did y'all see the video or like the TL stuff? What are your opinions? I want to know all the tea.
Sis, I'm not going to lie. I did not watch it. And let me tell you why, because I literally saw the title and I said, I'm tired. I'm tired. And I scrolled past because I said, there is no way that someone is going to convince me that this movement calling for the justice of an oppressed people, God's oppressed people, is witchcraft. I said, boy, bye. I said, next. So I didn't watch the video, but I have heard what was in it. I've received a rundown, and I'm even more glad that I didn't watch it because I don't have the time to be pressed on a Wednesday evening or whenever it came out. Do you know what I mean?
Now I hear that.
I watched it. Well, I wasn't really paying attention too much, but I listened to it. And I understand what they were, where they were coming from. I just feel that it could have been better explained in terms of the organization, the movement. And I feel like if you're going to make a statement like that, at least know the type, like there'll be various people listening to it and be able to cater for the various people. I don't know. I just think that, like, sometimes things aren't needed. Mm. Yeah, like, just don't talk too much.
Sometimes I think as well, just a more general point, because I thought we all knew at this point that there's very much a distinction between the Black Lives Matter movement and the actual organization, mm-hmm. as in the body or the group called Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. For example, I don't know if I can say this, but we all discovered that BLM UK was a bit of a shambles.
Very fraudulent.
A very fraudulent organization. And I still want receipts of where that money went. I still want to know where that 1 million went. But in terms of the companies and the individuals saying Black Lives Matter, I don't think they're necessarily aligning themselves with the particular organization. Black Lives Matter has become the tagline or the slogan of this era of a civil rights movement, of this whole campaign and this general understanding. Mm. So I think to say that the leaders of this, you know, particular organization or in the US, because they do witchcraft or whatever, which I'm not condoning, by the way, I don't do that over it, personally. But because they practice spirituality, to say then that the whole movement and even people just using the hashtag is witchcraft, in my opinion, is a bit of a stretch.
I hear that. I feel like it's just so interesting because I did watch the video, as I am first sort of like said as well. I watched it in like 2x speed because it's a very long video. And, you know, we all got things we doing out
keep
here.
Keep it stepping.
Like, really. And I like made a whole list of like things that they said from the actual Black Lives Matter Foundation founders, and then what the commentators in the actual video said to contest that. And like the women in the, like the founders did say that for them, Black Lives Matter is more than a hashtag, you know, like, they said that it's like resurrecting spirits and things. And so, as IMFS said, like the commentators, I guess, the way in which they're thinking about it in a specific context makes sense. Because if someone just tell you, oh, this is witchcraft, and if you are of another religion that is opposed to that, then obviously like there's a clash of doctrine, and it's like, well, that can't really be a part of that. But as Winipa said, like the actual hashtag or the actual movement or the name is just literally three words, Black Lives Matter. And to, I think the commentator was like, we need to start saying all Black Lives Matter, or he was just coming up with all sort of semantical foolishness to try to.
But people do say that.
Yeah, if you haven't watched the video, I'd really recommend you watch it. Like, from the bit, and just like see how they laid it out, because I think it makes it really clear. I mean, at the same time, I don't really want y'all giving your money to those sort of platforms, because but I just, yeah, as IFA said, I think I can understand what the man was saying, what the commentators were saying, but they were completely off. Because even as Winipa was talking in her first response, I'm just thinking about the Israelites and the Bible, right? And how they were in bondage for 400 years with the Egyptians. They skip out of bondage now, cross the Red Sea, they're now in the wilderness. Is it Moses that's in the mountain? Yeah, it's Moses that's in the mountain. They tell Aaron that they want to create a golden calf. So because they themselves, the entire oppressed group, turned to paganism, did that make them undeserving of being freed from oppression? No, because they were God's people and God still freed them. Mm-hmm. And because of Jesus Christ, we now have that reconciliation to the Father, regardless of whether we are Israelites or Jewish by birth, or whether we are Black and African, or whether we're Asian, or whatever it may be. So even just this whole context of the Black Lives Matter is demonic, an oppressed group are not undeserving of oppression, of freedom rather, because their beliefs do not align with your own.
Because they're imperfect.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? How deserving we are of being treated as equals is nothing to do with how we behave. And I say that because, like, if we were all judged and given what we deserve, none of us would be here. Do you know what I mean? And I'm not by any means condoning that people should behave anyhow. Obviously, we're Christians and we live to a certain standard, and we, you know, we have things that we obey and follow. But I just think it's a very wayward concept to determine how deserving people are of basic rights based off their behavior, when we know that the whole basis of our faith is that we are not deserving of God's grace regardless of our behavior. So whether these people were banging judge or praying every week, the fact that they are oppressed means that as Christians we should be working to help them not be oppressed. And that was even in if everyone who supports BLM was banging judge, which is definitely not the case. I just want to clarify.
Yeah, I think it also brings a interesting thing out of like Christianity and politics. I scrolled down the comment section, and then they were talking about one particular leader, like the American elections coming up, and they were saying how one leader supports abortion, but the other one's political party doesn't, and so so the other one's a lesser of evil. But then someone quoted, but this man did this. He stole money. He sexually assaulted people, and he's done all this stuff. But why is abortion, him not supporting abortion, a lesser than all the rest? And I just think that sometimes people like to stick their head in the sand and just Like, you actually need to think for yourself sometimes.
think, period.
That's the thing.
And think with compassion. Like, you can't, like, Jesus was one, it was moved with compassion. He didn't just...
And this is something that's so crazy to me. It's like, we can accept sexual assault. We can accept racism. We can accept bigotry. But I draw the line at allowing abortions. That's where our moral compass is. Because, I mean, really, if we were really doing this by the book, moral compass 100% up and down, you wouldn't be voting for anybody.
No. You wouldn't be voting for anybody. Because it should stop at the lies.
That way, the lies enough should be alone. Let me tell you, the institution of presidency in itself is inherently, oh, but you're not ready for that conversation. But oh, because one allows abortion, then we shouldn't vote him in.
It's not,
guys,
really.
Is it making sense?
It's not making one ounce. Not a single ounce of sense.
Not one bit. And this is something we've alluded to before. Like, we compartmentalize Christianity into certain specific life issues. Mm-hmm. Christianity is a way of life. That means every aspect of life. That means how you treat people, how you see people, how you deal with money, etc., etc. Someone is going against all these things, but because of one buzzword, abortion, suddenly, ooh,
your head is scattered.
They're not meeting the standard. Meanwhile, the standard... The standard wasn't met before they even stepped their pinky toe into the candidacy. Do you know what I mean? Mm. So I just feel like this is a big conversation we need to have, is Christianity and politics, because I just really feel like I'm like, baby, what are you doing?
No, period. I remember a friend of mine, I don't have Instagram, so she told me that one pastor of a big church here, not in Georgia, in the U.S., was telling people to vote their faith because, you know, they were still wanting to keep churches closed and X, Y, Z. And it just really struck me, because I'm just like, I know we're sort of wandering into politics a little bit, and that's not this like sort of central part of this episode, but there just is something to be said about how we view our faith, because I get that, you know, people's livelihoods are honestly truly centered around like church being in person. Pastors and ministry leaders are deserving of having, you know, like, a salary and, you know, like a secure work prospects and all of these things. But you know what? To actually say vote your faith is jarring, because as we are seeing, not only in American politics, but in global politics, there is no such thing as vote your faith, because Christianity is about, you know, loving your neighbor, about respect. It's about honor. It's about selflessness. If anything, if we were really keeping it a buck, a lot of us Christians who live blessed, quote unquote, or privileged lives should actually be voting opposite to what would work for us, because it'd actually be helping the people who are most in need. But nobody wants to hear about that, because I see a lot of stuff jumping back and forth. Especially like both in the UK and in America, because I think politics is different, but it's parallel. Like, you know, in the UK, we have the Tories and then we have Labour or the Socialists or whatever, however people like to categorize themselves. Then here we got the Republicans and the Democrats. And it's like conservatives in the UK and the Republicans here are sort of like buddy-buddy, you know, more rich people, more, quote, as it says, conservative. But if you really deep it, if the other side of the spectrum is meant to just be helping people who are literally in need, and that is what I've been called to do, surely, if I know that my God is good and my God will cover my back, regardless of whether it's a Labour, Democrat, Independent candidate, I should be voting to help the people who are most in need and who haven't heard the scriptures.
Most vulnerable.
Literally. I think it was one of us. I sent it into Twitter. It was made me laugh. It was the CEV version. I don't even know what that stands for. But someone was like, I don't even know what it was.
Embarrassed? It is embarrassing.
It's a scripture, guys. I'm going to find it really quick.
It was so funny. I literally saw it and I screamed.
It is so funny.
Let me look.
Okay, yeah, I found it. It's from 1 Corinthians 15, 34. It says, be sensible and stop sinning. You should be embarrassed that some people still don't know about God. Like, you should actually be humiliated. We should be humiliated that we're focusing on such fickle things when there are people who literally don't have food to eat.
Mm. Right.
Or don't have access to
healthcare. And I think that just comes down to, like, in this life, you have to ask yourself, like, who or what is your God?
Mm.
Because at the end of the day, like, if you're voting based off, oh, these people are gonna give me lower taxes, these people are yada, 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 money is your God. Because if God, the Lord, the Father, as in El Shaddai, was your God, you would be thinking, how can I vote in a way that most honors God?
Oh.
Like, how can I help as many people as possible? Not myself, because guys, I will honestly never stop saying this. You cannot take your money with you to the grave. Honestly, I'm urging you people to start building up your treasures in heaven, because this whole fending for yourself, selfishness thing, it will end in tears. And that's just that. I don't even know how we got onto talking about this, but this is something I feel extremely strongly about. Extremely strongly about.
Okay, so that's, I think, a good segue into the, I guess, the latter half of our conversation about how we as Christians interact with people. I guess mostly Christians who have, like, maybe different, not only political beliefs, but, like, general beliefs or stances about, you know, social, political, maybe even spiritual, financial, you know, things than us. How do you guys, what are your, like, how, well, I mean, how do you interact with people who maybe believe contrarily to you? Because, I mean, like, we're all sort of, well, we're not really denominational, but, like, for example, Winnipeg's a beautiful SDA babe. And I didn't really know what SDAs were before I really met her. Well, actually, you know, I had a friend who was SDA. But yeah, how do you interact with that sort of stuff?
Okay. I think it's always going back to what we always say, that Christianity is a way of being. It's literally, we're children of God. So it's your culture. It's your identity. So I think, but we still live on earth, so everyone has, like, different beliefs of certain things. I think it's just a thing of respect and not twisting Bible verses or saying certain things to try and seem as if everyone who's Christian should believe this. Mm-hmm. Like putting God's name in things where it doesn't belong. Or you've saying that you had a dream about something, so everyone should believe the same thing. I just, yeah.
Yeah, firstly, guys, I could talk a lot about this. Firstly, in terms of how we interact with other Christians, I think this is a big thing that we all need to look introspectively at. Not just other Christians, but other people who might have different beliefs to us. And I think, to be honest, keeping it a buck, this is something the Seventh-day Adventist Church is not good at. Because I think they hold on to this thing, which is like, oh, the SDA church is so doctrinally sound that other churches who aren't getting this, like, they haven't got, like, a full picture of the truth. In particular, like, I know there's a lot of beef with, like, the Catholic Church and how they do things. And I'm not going to comment because... Me too, I have some reservations. But I just think, like, having that as the focus, like, I don't think that God sent us on this earth to be doing tribal wars. Like, we should definitely be trying to enlighten each other, build each other up in the spirit and in truth. And, you know, like, for example, if I'm talking to another Christian and they say something to me which I think is a bit wayward, for example, something relating to, like, money or, like, how we treat people, I might just be like, oh, that's interesting. Try to direct them to a Bible verse or what I think the Lord is trying to say, whatever, whatever. But it's not a thing where that's not what my energy is going into, trying to prove people wrong. You know what I mean? And on to Iron Faye's next point about, this is my pet peeve. And I only started experiencing this when I flipping got Twitter in 2019. And it was like this whole, God told me to tell you this. God showed me this. Hey. God gave me this dream. Ooh. I'm not going to come here and say that all of you men are lying. I wouldn't do that. I'm not one to accuse. However, I feel like just tread carefully, because I believe that if you go around telling people God said this and God said this, knowing full well that God didn't tell you a single thing of the sort, that is blasphemy. Like, I'm not even being funny. The Bible says, like, the third commandment, is it the third? Yes, the third commandment. Like, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. That doesn't just mean, you know, swearing on God's name, like, making promises, like, oh, I'm going to do this in the name of, do you know what I mean?
Oh, when God.
You're not
going to
do it. Oh, God, you know? But meanwhile, you know, you have no intention to do anything on anyone. It's also about like putting God's name in places where you know full well it doesn't belong.
Preach, preach.
That's your bogus advice, your bogus opinions, your wayward doctrines. So if you want to come now on a video and say, God revealed this to me that such and such is witchcraft, God revealed this to me that such and such is wrong, but God didn't reveal that to you, just know it's between you and God.
God will say it's liar, liar.
Liar, liar. L-I-E-R. Right. Because also, the Bible even talks about false prophets and false teachers. And here you are being false. Are you not embarrassed?
Very embarrassed.
It's very embarrassing.
No, period. As you said this, it's just reminded me of something that I was watching this morning. This preacher, I think is the sermon was called What Did God Say? By Stephanie Ikes. She's really cool. And she said, she was talking about how wisdom and how sometimes we get caught in like, who of what if, of, is God saying something different to me just because the world or, you know, school years or, you know, just regular time is changing. Sometimes we assume as Christians that like God's word for us for a season or the season of life in which we are in should also be changing. And so this whole sermon was constructed around learning to glean godly wisdom and not just being led by your emotions, essentially. And 2 Corinthians 11:14 says that even Satan fashioned himself or masquerades himself as an angel of light. And light in this context means wisdom. So the wisdom that you may think is coming from the Lord, because scripture does talk about the Lord is our light. I can't even remember where that scripture is, but I know I've got it bookmarked. The Lord is our light. So if Satan can also fashion himself as an angel of light, what therefore is the means in which we discern Satan from the Lord if we're just using our own human wisdom? If you're just going by a so-called dream or a so-called vision, you know, like the supernatural things are not limited to Christians. I think that's sort of like what half of this entire episode has been about. So I think it's just very important to, as Winifa and I have said, have tread so carefully with how we call things out as, you know, witchcraft, as blasphemy, as even just the general vernacular that has been adopted from the Bible and is now like used sort of in a secular context, like she's a Jezebel, or even within a Christian context, like you're dressing like a Jezebel. You cannot dress like it, someone who is a murderer. What does a murderer look like? Do you know Jezebel was trying to kill a prophet? What does that mean to be a Jezebel?
Have you guys read?
They haven't.
Have you read the book?
They haven't.
Because y'all don't be knowing what Jezebel is enough for me. The way it's thrown around so loosely, calling me a Jezebel. Oh, I'll show you a Jezebel. You want to play games. You want to throw labels.
It's quite concerning. And yeah, I don't know. I just feel like, I think maybe I'm a little bit biased. I am. And that's okay. I'll put my hands up and say that. I find it quite disconcerting, unsettling when I see, you know, like whole social media platforms that have been formed around this whole like every 2 days there's a new prophecy, there's a new dream, there's a new vision that must be shared with all of humanity. Because I do believe in spiritual gifts and I do believe God graces people with that sort of prophetic wisdom and understanding. But I also think that God is very intentional. And his word says in Ecclesiastes that he makes everything beautiful for its own time. So sometimes it's not your lips that need to be opening to be talking about one prophecy that you received last week. Why don't you let it ruminate? Why don't you let the Holy Spirit lead you? Maybe it's not for the YouTube channel, and maybe it's just for your one friend or for the group chat. Right. As I emphasized, we just need to learn to close our lips. Like, I think that's something that we need to learn to do a little bit more because, yeah, this is the way in which we interact with these sort of things. It's kind of scary. And I don't think it's representative of Christ at all.
And something else, this episode, I don't even know what we're going to call this because this just turned into a rant. But another thing, like, I've just remembered when you were speaking is that I feel like people use or purport to have these gifts in order to create a sort of hierarchy of holiness or wisdom. Because if we're being honest, I feel like we as a church body, as a global church, value certain gifts above others. And like people definitely see stuff like speaking in tongues, receiving prophecies, having visions, having dreams, they value that so highly that they think, okay, this is my way to get, you know, high up in the ranks, you know, let me climb the rungs a little bit higher to heaven or seem like I am. So if I make an Instagram which is all about, you know, interpreting dreams, then I seem so holy. Not even that I seem holy, I seem better than you regular congregation member who maybe just hears God through a conscience, you know? Because we don't talk about that enough. Like, it's not everyone that God will be appearing to you in a dream or with a bright light or with,
it's true.
You know, it's sometimes just a nudge. It's your conscience. And we were having this discussion in Bible study the other day, talking about, does God speak to some people more than others? And sometimes it does feel that way, because some people every day will be saying, God told me this, God told me this. And you're like, God, why don't you tell me things? And you realize, like, God is with me all the time. Like, God is constantly speaking to me, constantly guiding my actions, even when I don't realize, you know. And some people like to make it seem like they're tighter with Jesus than I am. It's not the case. God speaks to me in different ways. And sometimes God tells me things clearly. Sometimes, like, you know, he puts things in my heart, which I'm like, yeah, this is definitely something from God. It's just that I don't tell people, you know?
Yeah.
So
I was actually going to say, after Mary Hannah's point, that's very important for us to be able to recognize the voice of God, separate from other voices, but also just how God speaks to us. And it's something that will come as we grow in Christianity. But yeah, just God does speak to different people in different ways, and we just have to listen. And it's kind of like when you've heard your parents' voice, like the more you're used to it, like you can pick them off from like a mile away. Like, I remember I was walking home from a walk one day, and I could hear my mom's voice from the end of the street. Oh, she was singing. I could hear her from like two houses down, and that's just because my ears are so tuned to like her specific pitch. Right. And I think when we are conscious and are just used to talking to God, or are looking for opportunities to hear him, then our ears will be tuned to his voice as well.
And that's not something that comes overnight. So like, I used to really stress myself and think, oh, how come this person can really hear what God is saying, but me, sometimes I feel like I'm just stumbling through life. And I just realized, like, you know, sometimes God speaks to me in different ways, and it's like, am I listening, or am I expecting to hear it in a different way that's kind of blocking me from listening? Because I think what I'm starting to find is that God really speaks to me through music, you know. And like, that might not be the same for other people, but sometimes I'll be really pondering something and like agonizing over what decision to make. And then, you know, there'll just be a song that comes on repeatedly, even though it's on Spotify shuffle, it will just keep loading up every so often. I'll be like, oh, okay, Lord, I hear you now, you know? So I think, yeah, I am fair, you're right. You just need to listen out in different ways. And I think also, ask God to give you that wisdom and discernment, because like, I literally say this all the time, like, asking to know God better and for like the Holy Spirit to be in your life and to hear his voice, that's not something God can ever deny you. Like, God can't deny you anything that's in his will, and those are things for sure that are in his will to have a relationship. Like, that's literally the point of Christianity, is to take advantage, to be able to tap in to that relationship. So asking to deepen that is not something you can ever be denied access to. So
another thing I think, which was really sort of, I don't want to say jarring, but I'll say notable about the RIG Nation video about BLM being witchcraft. One was that, and I found that a number of things that they said weren't completely factual. And I don't mean this to be a sort of a jest at the specific commentators, like, I wish them well, but it's more just like how we also run with things to suit our specific agendas within, as Christians. You know, they said that the Black Lives Matter movement, the specific foundation, so Black Lives Matter Foundation, was advocating for the destruction or the eradication of the nuclear family. I literally typed in nuclear family traditional into the search bar, and nothing came up of that sort at all. It was only about the only time family came up was in reference to the family of victims. I read their manifestos. They're about us. They're about me. And, you know, that wasn't there either. And I think, Ayanfa, you also mentioned that during the video, they said something that, like, the only Black life that matters is the Black trans life. And that just spun me completely. I was like, right. Wait a minute. What's going on?
Because who said that? And I don't know if I should stop, because will I even stop? Will I even finish today? Firstly, let's unpack this, because Uncle was now suggesting to use the slogan "All Black Lives Matter" instead of "Black Lives Matter." Cool, let's go with it. So now you're saying all Black Lives Matter except Black trans lives. Is that what we're trying to do now? Because what is that? What is that? Listen, I'm not gonna get into it today. Quite frankly, I think it's content for another episode. But like, at the end of the day, trans lives are lives.
Mm.
They are children of God. I don't care what you believe, whatever, what your specific views are. What we can believe is that Christianity is all about love. And this is a question of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Removing whatever reservations you might have aside, we're talking about humans' lives right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's very deep. So I think to go and make a statement as bold as we shouldn't support this movement because it supports the lives of trans Black people. Girl, let me just stop there.
Yeah. And the thing is, if it was only them that were on this earth, Jesus would die multiple times if it meant saving them.
Multiple.
They actually didn't hear it.
I think you need to
wield that. I do also agree.
I think you need to reload it.
His Jesus would die for the lowest sinner. Even the people that were the ones that were putting the nails in his hands.
Do you know that Jesus died for his prosecutors?
Mm.
For his... Guys, they're not hearing you.
It's true.
They're actually not hearing you.
It's true. And it's just, I think that's just...
You know what,
no, continue.
Sorry, I was just going to say, like, what I find today is that we try to act like we somehow have a right to Christianity, or we have a right to God's love, or as if we did something. Because let's not get it twisted.
We did nothing.
The way we did the opposite. Did you not hear the wages of sin is death? Did you not hear that one? Because we don't get me twisted, like, the way we behave in this earth as Christians is not a justification for Jesus's sacrifice.
Mm-mm.
The way we act does not retrospectively justify the sacrifice that Jesus made.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm. We're not trying to pay it back.
Period.
Because we can't.
We can never.
Someone died for you. You can't pay that back. You literally can't pay it back. And so it's like, let's not act like somehow by virtue of who we are or how we behave that we're more deserving of basic things like love, grace, and justice.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's not what the good Lord said.
Mm, at all. I love what Ayanfa just said. Like, even if trans people were the only people on this earth, regardless of what you believe, Jesus would have still died 1,000 times over.
Period.
And I think that's just an excellent way to conclude. Like, I think that just needs to resonate in everyone's
that's
mind.
That's just it.
Like, there's nothing else needs to be said, really.
Point blank, period. Like, that's the end of the discussion. Like, so I don't want to hear any more semantics on who BLM is for. BLM is for all Black lives because Jesus died for everyone.
End of. Period. Per. As our good cousin Rollover would say.
I just need the nails now to do it. Purr.
Can I just say, as an aside, my sister and I were absolutely in tears like 2 weeks ago because we kept on doing his little impression where he had the Popeye sandwich and he's like, y'all ain't even give him. No, he said, it's not even give what y'all said it's supposed to give. No, I wasted my money. That made me cry.
It's not even giving what y'all said it's supposed to give. I love that. I love that. I'm still waiting to incorporate that into my everyday conversation.
But for real, guys, who wants to close up?
So, guys, that brings us to the end of today's discussion. I was going to summarize what we talked about, but if I'm being honest with you, I don't even remember. Like, the conversation went here, there, and everywhere, but I would like to think that it was spirit-led and that you guys glean something from it. Just if nothing else, glean our frustration at the state of things and just, you know, take this as an opportunity to maybe be introspective and to just, you know, have another reminder to just be as loving as possible, you know? Mm-hmm. That's it from us. What else do I need to say? Follow us on everything. Let us know what you want from us. That's it.
LA Guy Podcast. LA Guy. Well, I mean, y'all should know that by now, to be honest.
I know, right? You already know. You know the vibes already.
Oh, lush.
Okay. Until next time, guys. Bye. Bye.